Hey, everybody. I'm Allie Cornforth, and I wrote poetry for my thesis. So I guess just to give you some background, a lot of my work is autobiographical, and I ended up facing a lot of challenges with this. I ended up revealing a lot of deep and emotional things from my life, but ended up writing about it anyway. So this first one is based on my aunt, who is going through dementia and aphasia kind of combined. So it's called Journaling, May 16th. Mom's moving to California to be with me. I'm wondering how much longer I'll be able to keep using my map. It's stitched into my mind, but scissors have begun to clip the roads. Doctor says it won't be long before half of New England is cut out. Then the Southeast will go. Then the Mideast. Doctor doesn't know when they'll reach my little San Francisco. Probably before Mom gets here. Then what? I won't know where I am. The map will consist of me and me. I'll wander in search of the bathroom, but I won't find it. The scissors will start in on my apartment before I even know about the neighborhood pool. It's disappeared. The map will shrink every time Mom starts to cook me hot dogs and beans, just like old times when I was 7, running around not knowing where to find all the groceries. A loaf of bread, dear, Mom would calmly request, knowing very well I'd get lost in produce. Go find your sister in aisle 8. Wheeze came to the rescue, but Wheeze is in New England. She'll be gone. The stove won't exist in my kitchen. The knobs will be mysterious bumps on my map, but Mom will know what to do. I'll finish supper and lie still on my bed. The Smirnoff almost falls from my hand. Those damn scissors will finish with my brain in a few moments. Then I'll wait until the cuts cut deeper. My lungs will puncture. My veins will snip. My bones will crack. And my heart will be sliced through like a thick, rare steak, blood filling the cavities of my body. In the meantime, I'll just wait. Mom will arrive and ask to play Scrabble. She knows I can't spell. This next one is called Sunday Night Dinners. Our station wagon wheezed outside the mahogany door. Francois took our keys. I wanted to hang them on his upturned nose. As she ushered us in, I saw Mom had forgotten to lint roll her sweater. She hushed my whispering at her sleeve when Dad halted at the archway of the dining room. Between his jacket and the side of the door, those glacial stiffs caught my eyes and held them. My heart still stops. Their faces pallid, dull, black and white actors who I couldn't believe were actually real. Q-tips, we called those wigs of cotton in the station wagon. We sat down silent then, lips lacking quivers, their eyes drilling through to our bones. Arthritic hands gingerly adjusted bifocals, their mothballed cardboard skirts condemning our floral jumpers. Whenever I hear Mozart's Requiem, it still drones mercilessly from that cigar room adjacent. Adelaide would then emerge, tense, approaching the polished dinner table with a glistening balanced tray. On pristine white china, a heap of green leaves, already a solid clump in my throat. Even the translucent dressing showed no pity. I fingered the silver utensils. Which fork? My skinny arms tremble now as they did then. I stared down the black insides of my mushrooms and looked up quick toward the shriveled hands looming at the head, where a gunshot suddenly fired eyeballs that pierced my own. Chills scampered down my spine, and salad was over. We never made it to round 2. I always liked to think macaroni and cheese would have been next as we scampered into our station wagon, still wheezing in the driveway. This one is called Ethel's Dilemma. I bought cotton balls instead of marshmallows yesterday at the grocery store. It was purely an accident, I swear, but Mom didn't believe me. Why don't you use those to make Rice Krispie treats for Samantha? Very funny. Now there are cotton balls in our kitchen cabinet. The same old spiel every day. You just don't get it, Ethel. Motherhood isn't a walk in the park. How would you feel if your name was Ethel? Mom was doped up on that crazy stuff they give you when you're going into labor. Her favorite sitcom at the time was, you guessed it, I Love Lucy. I'm just glad I didn't come out Ricky Ricardo. My 2-year-old sister got a fine name, Samantha. Only now she's fixated on Rice Krispie treats. That's all Mom ate when she was pregnant with her. She makes dear old Ethel go buy the ingredients because she can't stand the thought of marshmallows anymore. But now we've got cotton balls because I screwed up. Maybe Samantha will understand when she's 16 and finds her heartthrob stacking shelves in aisle 3 right beside the marshmallows. So I also wrote a series of poems in the center of my thesis about a group of lesbians whose stories I made up. Partly they were inspired by true events. But each poem was written from a different character's perspective, and this is a pretty big chunk of my thesis, so I thought I'd read a couple. First one is called Love Poem for Marlowe. The hearth flames tingled, edging us closer and closer. We meshed like fire into air, fused, until ash clouded our red and constricted the fuel, an eruption of smoke smothering each ember. I regret the anger. Yet wet bricks of snowflakes stack evergreens for miles between our hands and hearts. Patches of blackened ice litter the wintry ground, reminders of my searing insults spewed at you like charred debris. But my chill melts. My face still blushes at the thought of you. Sparks ignite, can reignite. Weeping snow streams down my windshield, erasing muddy errors. Headlights flood pokes of grass atop disappearing sheets of cold. I carve a heated line down roads, highways, back to you, my wet-hot destination. We burn beneath our hearts. Sometimes it will hurt. And this one is called The Wine and Cheese Party, for a reason I don't really know. I'm an eroticized 007 den mother mastermind. I've got flavor at 5'3". In my mind, I'm the biggest sex maniac you ever saw. Holden's third cousin, you could say. Bananas and cream is my tall order at the bar on Gay Friday. Lucky number 13 and a Nike swoosh ink my insole and elbow like totem carvings. Summon forth the lonely and let me spout espionage. Spray a spunky plot to the canvas. I'll be your first sex fantasy. Chocolate drippings and whipped in cream. Splintered rim hanging laps my instinctual reflexes for more. Promises for days to cry blue, shout red, eat purple. Take one, take two. This shot will bleed bubbles. The Big Dipper's beside you. Just do it, woman. So my poems cover a pretty wide range of subject matter. I actually let a friend read it the other day, and he was like, it's like when you're snowboarding, you just kind of go back and forth. So that was kind of an interesting comment. But I initially, this next poem, this which is the last one I'm going to read, was written in response to a poetry workshop. And I'm not sure if you've experienced that, but it's a great experience. But this one in particular was, I brought a poem and it just got torn apart. And sometimes people can be very ruthless, but this was kind of the frustration I had. And it evolved into what it is now, which is kind of like frustration with your peers, but also with these very famous poets that you want to emulate, but do so unsuccessfully. So anyway, this one is called Reading Shitty Poetry in an Ice Cream Parlor. I also scooped ice cream and read a lot of poetry last summer. So. I'm living on weekly paychecks of $350, William. Enough of your poetic snobbery. Romanticized gelato clumped into perfect balls. Your pieces are arrogant plumps, crisp sorbetto on the scoop. How tart can you become? Sugared dactyls and anapests harden and irritate my skin. You are the crud that gathers at my elbow. Washcloths can't wash fast enough to scrub off Wordsworthian rhymes. If my innocent fingerprints touched your work, freshly heaped into a bowl, you'd shrivel at the sight of my stain. Maybe other dead white men with enlightened palates deserve your presence, but I certainly don't. You are entirely too icy. I'm done trying to interpret your crusty goo. Ever tried to lick mine? Ice creamy swirls of rivers flowing softly, so smoothly, so sweet. But my milkshaked creations would mean nothing to you two. I am a shadowed artist in the corner of the parlor. Everyone stares, keeps staring through me. There are hands behind the works. There are mouths behind the subjects. Leave a tip for that girl in the apron. She knows what she's talking about.